is something that mothers within the church know often very well. And I feel like the Lord led me to this week for a purpose. There's a lot of things that led up to this point this week, and I'll make those known, and we'll make them clear as time goes on. But basically, what we see, and one of the questions that I've been kind of turning over in my head over the last couple of weeks, it was kind of asked to me in passing, not even necessarily here, but I felt like it was a good one to throw in here because I think it's one that we neglect to understand. And that question was simply this: how do I know it's the Holy Spirit? So I'm going to try my best to answer that this morning, but how do I know that it's the Holy Spirit? Well, we're going to start in the book of Acts, and we're going to start with Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we're going to see maybe how we know that it's the Holy Spirit. But I want to start here because I want to give a little bit of background. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If we go back to verse 7, actually, it says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, if we turn over to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, what I want us to see this morning is the power of what is taking place in these first two chapters of Acts. And it's a power that we actually sometimes neglect to understand. It's a power that we... Let me rephrase that. It's not something we neglect to understand. It's actually something we take for granted as Christians today. And it's actually something that we tend to kind of ignore. But I want us to take this and I want us to understand it. So I'm going to start with what the Holy Spirit is, with what the Holy Ghost, as the King James calls it, is. Basically, we live in a world that is obsessed with power. We live in a world that is obsessed with power. Don't believe me? Let me just list it for you. Political power, military power, racial power, monetary power, and the list goes on and on. And I find it funny, actually. I was sitting over here laughing a little bit because all four of these in some way have come up this morning in conversation. Just, you know, and it's not anything that there's nothing negative said, but all four of these have proven themselves true this morning. I mean, we're talking about dead presidents.
Dead presidents.
We're talking about, and somehow politics got into that statement, as Blake pointed out. You know, we talk about military power. We talk about these things on a regular basis. These are things that have power within our own lives, even beyond the actual power that we intend when we talk about them. So as we look at that, I want us to see something, though, that God has an overcoming power. God has a victorious power that is available to every one of us. It is available to believers through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as we see in the book of Acts, we see that power poured out unto God's people. And as that power is poured out, what we start to see is that God's people start to take hold of these things in their lives. In the midst of the darkness that surrounds us in this world, and believe me, it's a dark world, and many of you probably know that already, but God has given his people a light that enlightens them into the ways of the world. God has given his people a light that has shown them that there is greatness in his power and his might. God has this overcoming power that was given to the early church and is available to us And all we have to do is obediently submit ourselves to guidance and leadership within the Holy Spirit. Now, as I talk about this, I want us to understand something about it today. I want us to see something about it today, and that is this. This power is available to you and I today. It is the same power that was available the day of Pentecost, the same power that fell from heaven. And I want to not only explore this by talking about the Holy Spirit and what its purpose and what it does. What I also want to do, it's not something that we're not familiar with. I mean, we have talked about this before. We've talked about this on a grand scale, actually, since I've been here. But I think that by singling it out and taking it to where we are today, I want us to see something that is truly powerful within it. 1 John 1 is actually what I want to look at real quickly this morning. And I want us to just really embrace this power today that is within us. But 1 John chapter 1, starting there in verse 5, it says, "Then this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." If we think about that verse today, we see something powerful in it. We see something powerful within that verse today that truly opens our eyes to see that God is a mighty force within us. Verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." This fellowship is the same fellowship. And now I want you to go back to Acts for a moment. And I'm sorry, you're going to get a workout with your fingers today. But if you go back to Acts chapter 2 for a moment and you read something, it says this. It says, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." But if we go back to verse 1, that didn't happen without this first part. And the first part was this. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Hebrews 10:25 says not to forsake the fellowship of gathering together. Now, if we have all of these statements that are leading us to believe that God's power is within a body, then I'm going to just go ahead and throw it out there to you this morning. It's not that it's not available to us individually, but God's power works best in a group. And the reason I say that is because Jesus didn't just do it on his own. Jesus got 12 men to go with him. Jesus got 12 men to experience the power with him and show his example to the world. It wasn't just something that he tried to do on his own. Could he have? Absolutely. But there are many people in the world today who try to throttle this and make it all about themselves within that power. They try to make it all about one person, all about themselves, and they forget the rest of the world. You know, the whole "me and God got this worked out" mentality. I don't believe that's what God meant. God didn't intend for us to be alone in the battle. God didn't intend for us to be alone with his power. Not that we can't be alone with his power. I mean, there are days where we need to be alone with God. Believe me, we'll talk about that. But, you know, quiet time with God is not just a devotional. It's not just a time where we sit down and read in the hustle and bustle of life. It's not just a time where we sit down in the middle of maybe a busy restaurant where we just take the time to, well, let me pull out my phone and see what the Bible says today, see what the verse of the day is, and then say a short prayer. Quiet time with God means that we actually get away with God. Jesus didn't sit down among the disciples and say, "All right, well, y'all just leave me alone. Talk amongst yourself. Make as much noise as you want. I'm going to sit right here and talk to God." Jesus got up and went and talked to God. Jesus went alone to the wilderness for 40 days to talk to God. But we also see an example in the scripture where Jesus actually told the disciples to get away from the crowd and go and reflect on what they had seen God do. Now, if Jesus is telling his disciples to do something in that nature, then why in the world would we try to find the busiest part of our day and say, well, I've got 5 minutes, let me pull out the Bible here. Now, the reason that I bring all of that up and the reason that I wanted to open it to that point is this. We talk about the power that is available in God. We talk about the power that's available through the Holy Spirit. What does that power bring? What does that power bring? And the reason that I'm doing this on Mother's Day, the reason that I feel like Mother's Day is a great place to start, it starts with the sign that I put up this week. It starts with the sign. And it was kind of a hidden meaning behind that sign. Be the person your mother prayed you would be. There's something about a mama's prayer. There is something about a mama that is vested in the Spirit of God. And there are many of them sitting in this building today that have prayed over their children, that have prayed over the life that their children are leading, that have prayed over the things that are happening in their children's lives, and they have prayed that they will become the person that God needs them to be. And it's about high time we become the person that mom prayed we would be. That's what the sign means. But that's also what we're talking about today, because moms know the power of the Holy Spirit. If she didn't, she wouldn't pray in it. She wouldn't invest her time in seeking God to do something in a child's life. And she knows that the Holy Spirit can take hold in that child's life, can take hold in that family member or that friend. A mother knows the power of prayer. And a mother knows the things that I'm getting ready to go into. Number one, the power that God has given us within the Holy Spirit. The first thing is this, the power to live a godly life. Don't believe me? Turn to Titus chapter 2. God has given us the power to lead a godly life. And if we turn to Titus chapter 2, what we see in the book of Titus this morning is simply that. Starting in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's given us that power to seek Him, to live a sober, a righteous, and a godly life within a world that is anything but. If you want to know how to live that life, ask the Holy Spirit to take hold. Ask the Holy Spirit to come inside, because it's the same Spirit that Jesus lived His life by. It's the same Spirit that Jesus walked day in and day out with. Jesus had that Spirit within Him. Job had that Spirit within him. David, at times, listened to the Spirit within him. At times, he didn't. We know that. But you want me to go through it? Well, I can start at Genesis and work my way through and tell you all the places where the Holy Spirit exists within the Scripture. And it starts with creation. Because God spoke these things into being. God and the Holy Spirit are one. It is His Spirit that lives within you. It is His Spirit that lives within you. And if you are in tune with the Holy Spirit, you will walk the righteous path. You will not waver along the path. And you will find the power to overcome within this world. Jesus said, "Fear not, I have overcome the world." Well, how did He overcome the world? It was the power of God that was alive within Him. And the power to overcome the temptations. The power to overcome the struggles. The power to overcome. You don't believe Jesus overcame the world? Look at the 40 days that He spent in the desert. He had to overcome the temptations that Satan threw His way. The temptations to make food out of stones. The temptations to bow down and worship Satan himself. The temptation of power, of money, of everything the world holds dear, those worldly powers that can take a hold in someone's life. Satan tempted him with all of them, and he overcame it. He overcame the world, folks. Jesus overcame the world. And how did he do it? It was the power of God within him. The power that is available to you and I today. The second thing is that we have the power to overcome and witness. As I was just saying, we have the power like Jesus did to overcome the world, but we have the power to overcome and to witness. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." Now, that's a tough one to understand. What does that mean? That they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, God wants us to have a testimony of his saving and his keeping people, just as it is recorded there in Revelation. Basically, it takes us to the third one, that, and I'm kind of putting these two together, but it takes us to the power of boldness and fearless living. It takes us to the power of boldness and living fearlessly in fearful times. In other words, if it means death, then we're okay with that. That's what Revelation 12:11 means. If it means death, then welcome it. If you are living a life that is so sold out within the Spirit, look at the example of Stephen and what he did. Stephen, facing death, was stoned to death because he would not let go of the power of the Holy Spirit. And do you blame him? He knew the reward was greater by staying true to the power of God, by staying true to the Spirit at work within him. He knew that the reward was going to be great. We are living in some of the most fearful times that this world has ever seen. In fact, the problem is that we see all these end times things that the Scripture says, and we're starting to see some of those things come to fruition. We start to see some of those things that are at work within the world today. You know, worldwide threats of disease, economic collapse, terrorism. I can go on. We all could. But we have the promise of God and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit within us for us to be able to go through those situations just as the Christians in the first century did and see ourselves through to the end. But there's one thing that's different about them that's not the same with us today. And I'm just going to lay it right out there for you. The church has become fearful in the face of the world. The church has become fearful. We've stopped living fearlessly and we've started living fearfully. How many times have we gotten upset to the point where we're like, well, we need to figure out what we need to do here because somebody might walk in the doors of the church and shoot us up. Well, great. If we're worshiping God within the full power of the Spirit, welcome it. Because God is alive within you. The problem is that we live fearfully and we're afraid that somebody's going to take our life before we're ready. Your life shouldn't be yours anyway. If you're worried today that you have to give your life up when somebody puts a gun in your face because of your faith, and they hold a gun to your face and they ask you if you believe in God, and you're afraid and you say no just so you can save your own life, then you never gave it to him in the first place. This life is not yours. The moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, the moment that you accept the sacrifice that he made for you, you give your life up. You die to yourself. Your life is no longer your life, but his. And then if he calls you to stand in the face of fear and to stand unafraid and to face even death, are you willing to do that today? You see where we're going with the power of the Holy Spirit? But the thing is it's a power that mothers know. It's a power that they've vested themselves in. They've gotten down on their knees. They've laid face down. They've put their arms up. Whatever direction of prayer they've wanted to do, they have prayed and they have prayed and they have prayed over their children and over their church and over their family, over their loved ones. So today, we need to see the Spirit move as the New Testament church saw the Spirit move. They were all together in one accord. They were believing the same thing. They were living the same life. They were doing the things together that needed to be done. They weren't trying to do it on their own. We might be sitting in a church building today, but are we doing it together or separate? Do we have different mindsets about where we need to go with it today? Does one of us need to go this way with the church while another one needs to go that way with the church? The problem is that we need to do it together for us to see something great happen within God. You know, 1 John 4:17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If you are fearful, then God is not alive in you. Because how many times, remember, God is love. Remember, we see that in the book of 1 John, that God is love. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and anyone that loveth knoweth God. Well, here we say love has been perfected among us in this. Well, if it's not perfect within you, you have fear. You're afraid of what might come. Don't be afraid today. Acts 4:13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. They realized that they had been with Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is alive within you, others can tell. They can see the power of the Spirit within you, and they can see you move in a mighty way. Acts 4:28-31, to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants that with boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. What happens when the Holy Spirit takes hold in our life? We are no longer afraid to stand up and speak the name of God boldly, proudly. Folks, here's the thing. That power that is within the Holy Spirit today gives us a power to be more than conquerors. We've read that scripture so many times, I'm not even going to go into it today. But Romans chapter 8, if you want to go read it again later. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, it tells us that we are more than conquerors because of this power. It tells us that we are more than conquerors because of the power of God. And in the midst of these troubling times, God has given us this overcoming power. He's given us this overcoming power and asked us simply this question. Are you willing today to walk in the obedience to the Holy Spirit? Are you willing today to walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit? Are you willing today to receive the power from God for an overcoming and victorious life? Just like your mom prayed. Because that's all she ever wanted for her son or her daughter, was an overcoming and a victorious life. Tell me a mother in this world that doesn't want to see her child succeed. Tell me a father in this world that doesn't want to see his child succeed. God wants to see his children succeed, and he has provided that power today. So how do we know that it's the Holy Spirit? How do we know that it is the Holy Spirit that is taking hold in your life today? It's your inheritance. It's your inheritance as a child of God. I mean, 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. But how do we know? Well, you know that little, still, small voice that sometimes speaks in the back of your head? That when you're doing something wrong, you know you shouldn't be doing it. And it's sitting there going, and you're like, shut up, I got this. Just come with me. Shut up, I got this. Eventually that voice goes away because we've drowned it out. We've told it not to speak to us today. Folks, if the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, you will know. If the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart today, you will have no choice but to stand up and talk about what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, what God has done in your life, the power of God within you. If that means standing up in church and telling the body of Christ today, what he has done in your life, then by all means, stand up in church and tell the body. Because the scripture tells us to brag on God. It tells us to tell others, boast in him. Because if we boast in ourselves, then are we really trusting the Holy Spirit today? You know, Paul even said it more than once. And he said, I boast in the Spirit. I boast in God. You know, boasting in God is not a problem. Being proud of what God has done in your life is not a problem. But if those statements that we make today are made like, well, I did this for the kingdom and I did that for the kingdom, I'm sorry. Your mindset is not in the right place. But if you're saying God did this through me, and you're not doing it to get praise of others here on this earth, you're doing it for the right reasons. And it's that tug that leads you there. And then when you know it's that tug of the Holy Spirit, you then turn around and you give God the credit for the things that he's done in your life. So what is the Holy Spirit? It's that power within you that God has placed there. It's that power your mother prayed for. It's the power your father prayed for. It is the power that we have to overcome the world. Do you have that power today? If you don't have that power today, then don't leave here without it. He offers it as a free gift. There's no requirement other than to just come and ask for the Holy Spirit to take hold in your life today, and he will. There's nothing greater than that feeling. There's nothing greater than the feeling of the Holy Spirit taking over you. There's nothing greater than the Holy Spirit giving you an opportunity to tell others what God has done for you. So as we close today, I mean, we're going to sing in a moment, but I think I have to do this because I just said it. Does anybody want to brag on God? I mean, does anybody feel that tug on their heart right now? I mean, I can tell you all the things he's done for me. I can tell you how great he's been in my life. I mean, I'm right here. I'm standing in Newland Christian Church as a pastor today. That ain't me. I'm just going to tell you, that's not something I did on my own. But thank God he did. Thank God I'm here.